I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, and many of you are probably still celebrating that this weekend, and trust that you had just a great time with family and friends. Yesterday, we actually had the Richardson family Christmas here in the gathering area, and it was great to see a family that we don't see all that often come together, and it was good to be with them. Today, I want to share a message, though, that is entitled, Where Do We Go From Here? Where do we go from here? And before we get to that part of the message, I want to take a few moments and look back at some of the preaching series that marked 2024, and then we'll cast a vision for where God is leading us moving forward. The first Sunday of 2024 was January 7th, and on that Sunday, we kicked off our first series of the year, and it was entitled Refocus, the One Another series, and we talked about the One Another commands that Jesus, that we hear in the Scriptures, primarily from Jesus. The first 6 weeks, we looked at those commands, and we had messages on encouraging one another, and praying for one another, and serving one another, accepting one another, forgiving one another. And then just before Valentine's Day, we had one on loving one another. And I tell you, I enjoyed preaching that series, and I was hoping that that series of sermons would kind of give us some energy and some focus moving into 2024. One of our members took a challenge that I gave back in the very first sermon to encourage one another very seriously. I challenged you, the congregation, to consider encouraging one person a week for 2024. And Seal Wenger took up that challenge. I want you to listen to her story.
Have you ever tried saying no to the big guy? In January of 2024, Pastor Kevin began a sermon series that he called One Another, and it was directives from Scripture on how we should treat our fellow brothers and sisters, such as serve one another, love one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, and many others. The one he chose for the first sermon was encourage one another. So I heard that sermon, I thought, that's something I can do. I can't do a lot of things I used to do, such as BDM trips, etc., but I can do that. So I thought I would accept the challenge to write an encouraging note to one person each week for the whole year. In the beginning, oftentimes it was pretty easy to pinpoint a person for the note that week. Some weeks, though, it wasn't quite so easy, and there were truly some weeks that I had nobody in mind. And that raised my sense of alertness to what was going on in people's lives and actions around me as to who would get the note for that week. Some weeks there was no name and obvious to me, and it kind of bothered me a little bit and kept thinking, who am I going to write to? Who am I going to write to? And inevitably, my sense of awareness of what was going on in people's lives, events around me, produced a name for that week. Things were going along pretty well until I was thrown what I would call a curve. I received a letter in the mail from a person that I had written a note to, thanking me for the note, telling me how much they appreciated it and how much it meant to them. This note even had a special place that it was kept, and it was referred to and reread time and time again. Not too long ago, Kevin asked me if I was still writing the notes, and I told him I was up to date and on board. He says, well, I am writing an Advent series of sermons, and I want you to be in it. And I told him, I said, I am not comfortable doing that. I really don't want to do that. I thought the matter was put to bed. But he accosted me after church on Sunday and said he had me written into the sermon. Did I say, have you ever tried to say no to the big guy? Well, there are some people who crave the bright lights or lots of ink, and as the sports phrase goes, do your job. Some people just labor on and on without any fanfare and aren't even noticed until maybe they mess up or they don't do the whatever they had done anymore, and people look around, well, who did that? Why isn't that happening? Life's journey is not always smooth sailing. A lesson I learned here is that there are speed bumps along the way, there are a few potholes, flat tires, and maybe total breakdowns. But simple acts of kindness, spoken or written words of encouragement, brighten someone's day. They raise the spirits and filed in the memory bank for future recall.
Sharing that and for doing that, taking up that challenge and blessing so many people, myself included, here in 2024. Our Lenten series was called Change Lives, and it was a series based on the stories from the Gospel of John, and we looked at some life-changing encounters that people had with Jesus. And some of those stories were like of Nicodemus as he encountered Jesus at night, the woman at the well, a woman caught in the act of adultery, in addition to the stories of Lazarus, and then, of course, Palm Sunday. And what I remember about that series is how radically changed those individuals were after they encountered Jesus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, visited Jesus under the cover of night, but really became a secret disciple and follower of Jesus. And the woman at the well lived an immoral life, but she went back into her town and she told anyone she could about Jesus. A woman caught in the act of adultery was moments away from being stoned to death. And Jesus saved her life and told her, hey, go and sin no more. And of course, the story of Lazarus, of Jesus bringing life out of death, is a tremendous story. And the challenge with each of those sermons during Lent was to ask you or to see if you've had that life-changing encounter with Jesus like these individuals that we've looked at during that series. We followed up Easter with a series entitled Great Questions, where we considered questions that believers as well as non-believers often ask, and we had questions like, do all roads lead to God? And do my prayers really matter? And questions like, can I trust the Bible? And the other one was, do I really need the tithe? And that one was a bit tricky. So, and actually in preparing this message, I went back and reread that sermon, and I thought, boy, I'm glad they didn't run me out of town after I preached that sermon. But here are just a few sentences that I think best answer that question of, do I really need to tithe, from the sermon back in April. Do I really need to tithe? Well, the answer is no. You need to excel in the grace of giving. Because if we excel in the grace of giving, we'll be tithing, if not more than tithing. And so if you cannot give 10% right now, start working towards that. What if I said, friends, what if, friends, if in 2025, we excelled in the grace of giving. Think about what this year would look like that's forthcoming if we excelled in the grace of giving. Now, don't get me wrong. You have been very faithful in worshiping God and giving through this year. But excelling, as Paul says, in the grace of giving, I think should be the goal of every follower of Jesus Christ. Our next series started in May. It was entitled Real Faith, Real Life. It was focused on the New Testament book of James. And the goal of that series was to encourage us to have genuine faith to deal with real life issues. And we talked about trials and temptations and taming the tongue and our words and the language we use and how to have a genuine faith in the midst of a world that seems so broken. And I brought that series to a close in June. I shared these words in the final sermon, which were just as relevant then as they are today. I said, sometimes we find ourselves listening to every voice out there except God's. Real faith for real life means listening to the voice of God, even when He doesn't seem to be talking loud enough. The message of James is summarized well in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And James is really a practical book of the Bible talking about having real faith, a lived out faith. It's not enough to talk about faithful living for Jesus. We have to do it. And so that might be a good New Year's resolution to make, if you haven't made any yet, that in 2025, I'm going to listen exclusively for the voice of God. And do what He says. Our summer preaching series celebrated the brethren values. That's how we kicked off that series, and we began that in June, and we had believers' baptism and a message on baptism. We baptized four new members into Crater Pond, and next Sunday we shared about Love Feast, the end of June. You might remember that. Talked about that brethren value, and we had our Every Generation Sunday School that week where we demonstrated Love Feast, and that was a great Sunday here in the end of June. There were other messages in the series. Pastor Marietta preached one. Pastor Bob Kettering came and shared about missions, and there were messages on peace and simple living and the importance of the gospel and the gospel and the word. And the goal with that series was to help us to realize that we're part of a church tradition that's 300 plus years old. And it has some very strong biblical values that continue through our generation into the next generation. Very biblically sound values. In August, we had a great weekend here for Fam Jam that focused on joy from the book of Philippians. And that was our Southern End Celebration Sunday as well. You might recall that in August. And I preached, I think, one night of that, and then also on Sunday morning. And I remember this is part of the final conclusion that I had on Celebration Sunday, where I was talking about joy and everything from Philippians 4. I said, one of the more common ways in which we miss out on joy is because our minds and our intention is to focus on the wrong things. We need to bring our thinking and our minds under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Did you catch that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, your relationship with Jesus should transform your mind. It should transform your thinking. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? Paul says, if you do that, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We kicked off our fall with a preaching series entitled Promises. Remember the Promises series, the I will statements that Jesus makes in the Scriptures? And that was a great series as well. I really enjoyed sharing those promises with us. And we had messages like, I will make you fishers of men, and I will give you rest, and I will keep you. And we had sermons on the promise to send the Holy Spirit and the promise that Jesus would come back again. And when I shared the last sermon in that series at the end of October, I gave you four takeaways from the entire preaching series that probably bear repeating here this morning. And the first is this, that we can take Jesus at His word. We can take Jesus at His word. We may not keep our promises, but we know that He does. Second, how blessed we are to have a loving Savior who not only gives us life, but wants to give us even more. He gives us life, but He wants to give us even more. Third, the promises of Jesus give us something secure in a very insecure world. And finally, knowing that Jesus keeps His promises, that encourages me to keep my promises. In November, we had Remembrance Sunday, where we recognized those that had passed away in the last 2 years, and we had an Experiencing God message and, of course, a Thanksgiving message. Pastor Don Fitzke was here one Sunday, you may remember that, as I was at Lancaster First preaching for them. And then we concluded the year with our Advent series, God with Us, focusing on the traditional themes of Advent, but using some key Old Testament passages to help give us some insight. So it was a pretty incredible year, if you think about it. Pretty amazing year. We had child dedications, we had baptisms, we had a prayer vigil right before the election, and we saw the strategic vision move forward, and we now have some much-needed Sunday school space, a renovated space, small groups can be meeting now, security's been added. But for me, the greatest praise I have for 2024 is for the changes I have seen in you. I've seen so many of you growing in faith and, like Seal, encouraging one another, engaging in God's Word and study, serving here and in the community and being a blessing to one another and to Ruth and I. You know, sometimes I feel like a roadie for the Holy Spirit, okay? Because the Holy Spirit's just working and changing lives. And I do a lot of the grunt work, the day-to-day work, and I can just sit back and just watch how the Holy Spirit is changing and working in your lives. But as good as it has been in 2024, I'm convinced that the best is yet to come. And so the message to title today is, where do we go from here? And I want to share just a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25, that I think will serve us well as we kind of say goodbye to 2024 and anticipate what God has for us in 2025. So hear the word of the Lord from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 23, reading through verse 25. The author there says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." I think the writer of Hebrews here gives us some very practical guidelines for how the church can move forward and enter into a new year. And the first point I want to make is this, and that is hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. That hope is Jesus. He is the hope for us individually. He is the hope for our families. He is unquestionably the hope for the church. And while there may be a new president coming here in a few weeks, I think he's the hope for our nation as well. So we all continue, we're going to continue to preach and teach the gospel, the teachings, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we move into 2025. Second, we need to encourage one another. We need to be like Seal and take opportunity to encourage someone. You don't have to do it every week, but you know, make a goal. Maybe every month, encourage someone with a personal note or a prayer or just a comment to them. An email, a phone call, a conversation can make a real impact on someone to spur them on toward love and good deeds, as Hebrew tells us. And lastly, verse 25 tells us to not give up meeting together. Don't give up meeting together. We live in a day and time where going to church is optional. It's optional. There's so many other things we can do rather than be with God's people. When I was a kid, my mother had a rule that when God's people meet, you be there. And it was a good rule then, and it's a good rule now. When God's people meet, you be there. Let's make being with God's people in worship and in study of His Word a priority for 2025. As you do that, and you'll see yourself growing as well. And we'll see the church growing. As we come into the new year, there's going to be a special preaching series that's beginning at the end of January entitled Dream Big. And for 6 weeks, we're going to dream big of what God could do in and through the McKenna Grove Church of the Brother. And during that series, we're going to have out in the gathering area a wall or something that is just brown paper with markers, and we want you to write your dream on that for McKenna Grove Church of the Brother. Also, during those 6 weeks, we're going to have a number of prayer and share triplets, praying together, meeting once a week and praying in accordance with the sermon that is shared, and just praying for God's vision, God's dream here at McKenna Grove Church of the Brother. And so if you're asked to be a part of a prayer and share triplet, hey, please say yes. You will be blessed as you meet in a small group for about 30 minutes each week and just pray with two other people for the vision and the direction of God's church here at McKenna Grove. Our deacons are leading the charge with this, so again, if you're asked to be a part of it, please say yes. You will be blessed. And then we'll be right into Lent and right into Easter. And after Easter, we're doing another Great Questions series. But this time, the questions came from our Roots kids. Okay? And I already have the questions, and some of them are quite challenging. So it's gonna be an interesting preaching series. And we'll see how the Lord leads us through that. So the answer to our question this morning, where do we go from here? We're going to go into the new year excited and expectant and trusting that God is going to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine or, should I say, even dream. Because he can do so, and he will do so. He promises to do so. It should be a great 2025. As we continue the work of Jesus here in the southern end of Lancaster County, peacefully, simply, and together, to the praise of his glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it's good to look back on this year and to give you thanks and praise for how you have worked in and through your church here at McKenna Grove. Thank you for your blessings, your favor upon us. Thank you for the growth that we have seen in individuals and in families, Lord. And we're excited for what you have for us in 2025. May this be a great dreaming big series to kick off the year, Lord, and may it encourage us to dream of what you could do in and through your church as we move forward with great expectation, great excitement, great joy for the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your continued favor upon your church, the McKenna Grove Church of the Brethren. And may we enter into 2025 with expectant hearts, listening for the voice of God, and being obedient to what you call us to do, what you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.